this is not the only passage, but for us, there's a number of passages that compare the Christian life to a race. And to run this race, the race course is this life that we live in. In a lot of ways, the race is a marathon, isn't it? There's challenges, there's ups and there's downs, there's seasons, and then in some ways, especially for those who are a good bit older than me, but even me can see the race in some ways is over quickly. But this is the race course, is this life. There's no other race. This is the one that God gives His people to run. And in this race, the running, it means to trust the Lord and to follow Jesus, to obey Him, to serve in His kingdom. That's what it means to run in this race, to live for the glory of God. So if you were to write down these two words, the two words I have for this verse 24 are passion and focus. Passion and focus. Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race, they all run, but only one receives the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Run like you want to win the race is the idea. I think we all can identify with and amen the reality that one of our greatest spiritual dangers in following Christ closely, one of our greatest spiritual dangers is spiritual lethargy, lukewarmness, lack of passion. But Paul is saying the opposite here. This word obtain, it literally means to take eagerly, to seize, to possess. So he's saying, you be the runner who runs the race. Says, I want to win that race. I want that prize. I want to cross that finish line. So for us it would be, I want Christ. I want to run in this race like I want more of Him. I want to do His will. I want to draw near to Him. I want to be faithful to Him. I don't want to run halfway. I don't want to run in a cold or a lukewarm way. I want to run and not be swallowed up by sin, but to run and to walk in godliness. So there's passion from these athletes. They give themselves. They have a strong desire and they're focused. They're focused on the task at hand. They have a goal in mind and they're seeking to win that race. And Paul is saying for us as believers, as we go through daily life, as we go through our routines, as we go through what sometimes is the drudgery of routine, the Lord's calling us to run this Christian race, to follow our Lord Jesus Christ with passion and with focus. One way to say this this way is, do you care? Do you care? Do you want to win? Do you want to be close to the Lord? Do you want to fulfill the calling that He's given to you? Do you want to be found faithful? Do you want to be conformed more to His will and to reflect more of His glory in your character and in your life? Sometimes we don't too much, do we? Sometimes we don't, but He says, you run like you care. Run like you want to eagerly attain and seize that prize. And the runners are expected to finish the race. So we're to run with the goal of, I want to finish this race. I want to make it all the way. I don't want to quit when it's difficult. I don't want to quit when it's hard. You know how it is for runners who run races or athletes who compete in other competitions. There are times where, man, you feel great. Your body is, it's in a rhythm. Your body is feeling wonderful. It's almost maybe euphoria. And the weather's just perfect as you run this race. And you say, I think I can run two races today. And it feels great. And then, oh my word, I'm cramping and I'm hurting and my head is pounding and I am exhausted and all the energy that I had a little while ago is all gone. And we can compare that to the Christian race, can't we? That there are seasons when we feel like it's hardly, I have to go to heaven to get closer to Jesus than I am right now. I could just shout and rejoice and I'm believing His word and all these scriptures are coming to mind and it just seems like everything's clicking. I love this. I love this race. And then there's other seasons where we think, I know what I'm supposed to believe, but I don't feel it. I know the scriptures I'm supposed to lay hold of, but they just seem really far away. And here I am. I know I'm supposed to desire what's right, and I don't. I'm cold. I'm lukewarm. I'm lethargic. Let me just say to you tonight that wherever that you are in the race, keep running. Wherever you are in the race, press on as you look to Christ who's run the race before us. We have a lot of older people at our church at Collierville. And I thought about them that they have run a lot of laps. They've run a lot of laps in following Christ and trusting Jesus. But I assured them, and if you consider yourself old tonight, that you could take this with you, that no matter how long you've run in the race, keep running in the race. That even the final laps, when there may not be as much energy, there may not be as much ability to do the things that were once done, God still receives great glory as His people keep trusting and they keep praising Him, they keep thanking Him, no matter how much they can do physically or not. So we're exhorted to run to win with the goal of the finish line to seize that prize. Well, sometimes we fall in the race, don't we? You've probably seen those videos that are just heartwarming of people that they blow it, totally blow it. Maybe they're on hurdles and they just trip and look, they fall flat on their face and just look like an embarrassment. But you know what? The guy I like to cheer for is the one who gets back up. You know, I can cheer for that guy. Everybody knows the same, he's going to finish last, but he gets up. And of course he's embarrassed and of course he hates it, but he keeps running the race all the way to the end. And so we ourselves sometimes, we fall flat on our face in this race and are foolish and rebellious. And our pride and our self-pity might tell us, just stop. You hadn't run near as well as the guy way up there. So why even try? But if we trust, if we believe the gospel, right? If we believe in the faithfulness of God, if we believe in the finished work of our Savior, that He hasn't forgotten us, that He's still representing us in glory, we can get back up and say, whatever lap I have left, I want this one to be the best one I've ever had, with the most passion and the most zeal to run all the way to the end. That's what Paul's saying. Paul has passion. Guys, the Corinthian church, they were spiritually flabby. They were. Lots of problems, lots of weakness. And he says, listen, you run to win the prize. Run all the way to the end. So he says, those that run in a race, they run all, but one receives the prize. So run to win. So passion and focus. Think about that in your Christian life tonight. Am I passionate? Do I care? Can I say for me to live as Christ and to die as gain? And then am I focused? Am I setting aside those things that would hinder me in the race and running with focus? Well, then, verse 25, he says, and every man that striveth for the mastery, an expression that means one who's competing, could be the wrestling. So one who's competing, the word striveth is the Greek word agonizomai. So here's someone who is, they're really putting forth toil and strain. So every man that striveth in the mastery, he is temperate, or he is disciplined, self-controlled in all things. So our words are passion and focus, and now the third word I give you is the word discipline. Because that's what he has in mind here. So when I was studying this passage, I looked up on the internet, and I found this, I forget what the athlete's name was, the Olympic athlete, their schedule. And you're like, wow. I mean, their life is ordered around their training. It's ordered around their training. So it's get up at a certain time, eat a very certain portion of food for breakfast, a certain amount of calories, go to the workout facility, work out for 3 hours, eat a very carefully prescribed lunch, short rest, short break, get back up, 3 more hours of exercise, come back, maybe have a light afternoon snack, do something else, and then have a very calculated supper, a little bit of downtime, go to bed, get up and do the same thing. For day after day, year after year, month after month, their life is ordered by their training regimen because there's a goal in mind. There's a goal in mind. So Paul is using that analogy. He's saying everyone who runs the Christian race, everyone who competes in the games, everyone who's agonizing for Christ, they are to be self-controlled, disciplined in all things, just like the Olympic athlete is. Now, I'm thankful the Lord doesn't give us a certain amount of calories we have to eat every day, right? That's not what we're talking about. But we're using that as an analogy for our ordering our life around our competition, if you will. Ordering our life around the race that we're in, this glorious race that God has called us to. So he says, and again, this word agonizomai, agonizing and straining and exertion and fight. So just mark this down. That's why I gave the title of this message, The Christian Life Requires Sweat. It just does. There's no way around that. There's no way around following Jesus really itsy-bitsy, just do a little bit. It just doesn't work that way. Christ calls us to run, to fight, to wrestle, to agonize, and to strain as we serve Him. So 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, you know that verse says that exercise yourself. I can't remember the verse. Exercise yourself, discipline yourself unto godliness. That word, exercise yourself in 1 Timothy 4 is the Greek gymnazo from gymnasium. Go to the gym. Go to the gym to exercise. It's simple. You know this. You know this. So a couple of Saturdays ago, me and William, we said, we got to go to the Y. We got to go exercise. And we both admitted on the way to the Y, neither of us felt like going. William didn't want to go. I didn't want to go. But we both said, buddy, well, I said, we'll probably feel better at the end. He said, yeah, you're probably right. So we went, and it wasn't fun. Those squats, the first few, that's like, oh, this is awful. But you know how it is. The more you got going, break a sweat, this feels pretty good. And by the end, we rode home, and we both agreed, man, we feel great. This is so much good. We went home. We got gutters cleaned. The whole day went better because we felt better about going. And you know how that is in your life. It's not this matter of, well, if everything works out really well in my schedule this week and everything goes very smoothly, then maybe I'll try to find some time to spend with the Lord in His Word. Or if everything's convenient, I hope I can really do some praying sometime at some point this week. Or if the cards fall right and the week goes well, I might see you in church on Sunday morning. Or I might serve this person or do, you know, all of these things. You know how that it is. God says, discipline yourself unto godliness. And so our life as believers is to be ordered around our training regimen because of the competition that we're in, because of the race that we have been called to. Now, if you are like me, you don't like the word discipline. That's just a bad word to our flesh, isn't it? Discipline, self-control, bad words. Not a pleasant emotion that can sometimes bring. But look at what the purpose is. See, that's so important when we see the purpose behind our discipline. What is the Olympic athlete, why do they make themselves a slave to their regimen for? It's to win the prize. It's to win the gold medal. The basketball player, to get that championship. Well, here he says, and he gives us a very clear view in verse 25. Now, they do it. Why do they do this? They do this to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, an incorruptible. In the Isthmian Games, I thought this was kind of humorous, the first crowns were made out of wild celery. I'm not sure how you do that. But that was their crown. And later it was the pine leaves. Of course, it was more than just the crown. It was glory. It was recognition. It was achievement. It was status. It was so many. It was glory. It was. It would probably be a great rush to win that thing. But you know what? It was all a temporary glory. It was all for a glory that would lose its luster, that would lose its value. But Paul is saying, you do this, Christians, not so that you can get some kind of a temporary glory, some trophy that will sit in a case and collect dust and all of that, not some temporary fame where you're a big name or whatever and then you're forgotten. But you're doing this with your eye on an incorruptible crown, a glory that will never fade away. Wonderful. We heard some wonderful messages at the conference at Ripley. And several of them, at least a couple of them, pointed us to the glory beyond this life, the glory beyond this world, that we don't live just as materialists. We don't live as just seeing, just what I can see and touch and feel. This is what is reality. We look at what's beyond what we can see. This is real, but we look beyond just this sin-cursed earth as our hope in Christ informs us that there's everlasting bliss and pleasure and glory with Christ forever. Without a curse, and without any more bad news, without any more sin struggles, but to be in the full presence of the glorious God forever and forever. This is our discipline. So that can motivate me. That can motivate me, living for beyond just the here and now. That motivates me to say no to that sinful habit. That motivates me to give of myself, to read the Word, or do whatever the spiritual disciplines are to grow more in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, this is important as we talked about the disciplines to grow, like reading the Scripture and all those things, but also in disciplining our own habits and our own life. A lot of times it involves struggling with sin. Where Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, this is a great principle to live by. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. get this one, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's a really wise way to live. I will not be brought, even something inherently fine, I will not be brought under the control of anything other than Jesus to control me. That's a great way to live, isn't it? It's a wise way to live. So whether it be, so we live life in moderation, right? We don't want anything to get too big of a place in our hearts and lives where it begins to call the shots more than our Lord is calling the shots. We have this motivation because we're running this race as we head to glory. Do you feel the sweat of this passage? Do you feel the thrust of it? Paul's saying, we got to mean business here, right? We've got to give of ourselves. We're not doing it without grace, of course. We're doing it as we trust in Him, as we're abiding in the vine. That's our life source. We can do all things through Christ who's empowering me. We're leaning upon His strength, using His Word. But we are giving of ourselves, laboring, running, agonizing, disciplining ourselves, passion and focus, that we might run a faithful race to His glory. Now you might think, man, Brother Timothy, this sounds a lot like work salvation, striving, attaining, get this incorruptible crown. Well, we know here in the Bible better than that, right? That it's obvious that by grace, free, unmerited grace, gift of God, that we are saved. But this grace calls us to labor, doesn't it? It calls us to run. In Hebrews chapter 10, Paul, or whoever the writer of Hebrews was exhorting people to keep running, exhorting people not to cast off their faith in Christ. God saves His people, and He keeps His people all the way to the end to gain that incorruptible crown, but only those who are running can know they are the ones who are heading to get this crown. So we're not saved by the grace of God to sit. That's not the way He keeps us. He doesn't save us so that we can sit and are idle. But He saves us and keeps us. And one way that God keeps us is through stirring us up to keep running and stirring us up to keep fighting. And if we're not fighting and if we're not running, that's not good. Look in Hebrews 10 in verse 35. He says this need for endurance, this need for our faithfulness over the long haul, of course, empowered continually by His grace. But in Hebrews 10:35, He says, Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience or endurance, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You've got to run the race first, then you receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So Paul, or whoever the writer is, is not speaking against God preserving and keeping His people. But he's saying those who are kept, God keeps us, and He keeps us by stirring us up to keep running. So don't cast away your confidence. Don't quit in your pursuit of Christ and your war against sin, your labor to put on godliness. So back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So passion and focus and discipline. And then Paul says in verse 26, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, not aimlessly. So here's purpose here. There's passion, there's focus, there's discipline, there's purpose here. I'm not just floating on through life. I'm not living thoughtlessly. I think it's really important for all of us, but for young people, there's a great tendency just to kind of live thoughtlessly. What are you doing? I don't know. I'm just getting through the day. Just doing the next fun thing or the next responsibility I got. What's the goal? What's the long term? What's the big picture? How am I seeking to grow? How am I seeking to know more of Christ? Paul says, I'm not running aimlessly. I have purpose. Then he says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So now he goes to the boxing analogy. And in boxing, there's shadow boxing, where they don't really hit anybody. They're just practicing their moves and hitting the air. So Paul says, I'm not just shadow boxing. He says, I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. When Paul says, I keep under my body, it's literally in the original language, I beat my body black and blue. In other words, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm connecting. I'm making some real hits here. It doesn't mean literally he's beating himself up. He's talking about warring against his flesh, warring against himself. He's talking about, I've got to say no to myself a lot so that I can say yes to the Lord and walk in his ways. He says, that's pretty intense, isn't it? Can you say no to yourself? Are you able to deny yourself? Of course, with God's grace. But are you owned and governed by every impulse and every fleeting desire? We might say, Paul, why are you so intense about this? Paul was the man who'd been greatly used by God, dedicated, devoted. But it seems that Paul would say this. I think Paul would say this from this passage. I trust Jesus with all my heart, but I don't trust myself. I don't trust my sinful nature. I know I'm capable of awful things. So therefore, I don't want to be found a fraud. I don't want to be found one who is declaring Christ and then I turn out and I blow it and I breathe shame on his name. He says, I keep under my body. I bring it. I beat it black and blue. I say, no, I do whatever it takes. Lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So, man, we could say the Christian life is bloody. It's sweaty and it's bloody and it's strenuous. How is it with you? I'll just ask you this. How do you war against your sins? How do you war and labor against those sinful habits? Do you have one that just keeps coming? It keeps coming and he's like, it's bad, it's wrong. I don't know what to do. It's bad, I confess, but it's just, I never grow. Paul would say, it's time to start connecting some punches, whether it be through talking to the pastor or another brother or sister in Christ or whatever it may be. I've got to start meaning business to labor in a war against this sin. Because I want to follow Paul. I don't want to be one who speaks of Christ and then myself, I'm led to be a castaway. A lot of this is really hard work of teaching ourselves new ways to think. Teaching ourselves new ways to think. Renewing our minds. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. So many of our sin struggles are like ruts in our brain. A rut of a way of thinking. Do you have any lies that you just default mode into believing? I do. We struggle with every day. Lies that we just, that's our default mode. We go into believing. There was someone I heard recently talking about their sin struggle. I know that people think this about me. I know this about me. And it was all lies. It wasn't true. It wasn't real. And the person trying to help them said, well, did those people say that about you? No, but they must be thinking it because I think it about myself. So it must be true. And these wrong things, they were wrong self-assessment. That's not true. I don't believe, but that's what I think. So this person was living in the realm that wasn't reality, but boy, it felt strong to them. And so the goal for that person and for all of us is to teach us by the grace of God, laboring. This is labor. This is exercise to teach ourselves new ways to think, according to the Word and the will of God. I remember reading a book as a teenager on sexual purity and for young men particularly, and it was talking about a great tactic for men in general, and it was called bouncing the eyes. It was called training yourself to bounce your eyes. You see an image, you see a person, you shouldn't linger bouncing the eyes. And I remember that connected with me. So if you ever see myself bouncing my eyes, I'm probably just bouncing all over the place. Whatever it takes. So there's some folks who, this personally for me, this would not work for me because I would just have no joy or peace at all. But for them, if it's a certain habit, they mess up on them, they struggle with it, they tell on themselves. They write it down. Say, yep, that's what I did today. Shouldn't have done that. And that helps them confess and get over. For me, I'd say, whoa, Lord, all my sins, just forget it. That wouldn't work for me. Whatever it takes. Are there sin struggles that we have, but we don't fill our minds with the Word of God? There's a sister that I know now who's been struggling with great sin struggle. And what I love about it is it's not an easy fix. It's not quick overnight. But this dear lady in our congregation is memorizing scriptures. And she's, I'll just quote them. I'll wake up in the night and having these awful thoughts of God, just quote that scripture again, laying hold of the Word of God. Not always an easy fix, right? Not always read my Bible for 5 minutes and then the sin is gone. It's sweat and it's toil and it's blood and it's labor that we might be found faithful unto our God. So Paul did not trust himself, but he trusted fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to where? To His eternal glory. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I like that because it's the big picture and it's also the process. The God of all grace has called us to eternal glory. That's the prize. That's what we're running toward. That's what we want to see. We want to run to win. And this God of grace, through some falls in the race and through some bloody eyes and through a lot of sweat, the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit to keep working in us is going to perfect us, establish us, and strengthen us, and settle us all the way until glory. Every one of us here tonight, every believer here tonight, the best believer, blessed Christian, most faithful who's ever lived, there were chinks in their armor, right? There was falls on the way. But we serve one, right, who ran the race ahead of us and never had a fall. Isn't that great? He ran the race ahead of us and he never had a fall, never had a bruise, never had to beat himself up. He was faithful all the way to the end. That's where our ultimate hope lies. And here's the other good news, is he is running that race with us. He's running that race with us. I've told you this story. I'll tell it again. They have the Olympics for the disabled. What do they call it? The Paralympics. And I've told it before. I love this story. Is they have blind racing. Never knew it until I saw it. They have blind racing. And they have the blind guys, and they're connected to somebody who can see. They're tied at the wrist with somebody who can see. And they run the race, and they're giving it all they got. They're flying. And the one who can see is yelling, I'm assuming, encouragement, and hey, we got 50 meters left. And they run all the way, and then the winners, they get to the end, and what do? They raise their wrist, and they raise it up together, because they're connected at the wrist. That's about like it is, folks. We're the blind. We're the halt. We're the maimed. We're the poor. We're the stumbling. We're the weak. And we're running, and we're running because the Spirit's working in us. But listen, the way we're going to get all the way to the end is because we're connected to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's running with us all the way to the end. So let's trust in His grace and His strength to make it all the way. May God bless you.